Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch, and one woman called her the over 40 guru to watch in 2017. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Hello and welcome back to Fit and Chips Chats with me, your host, Amanda Thebe, my weekly show that delves deep and dirty into topics that directly impact women over 40 from peri to post to menopause. And this week, I'm super, super pumped and excited to introduce you to the most amazing human person ever, Josh Hillis. Welcome, my dear.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Josh and I met virtually. We've never met in person and hugged yet, but Josh and I met a couple of years ago. We were connected by our love of nutrition and our love of Georgie Fear. And Josh is a brilliant guy. He is an author. He runs a nutrition coaching group with Georgie Fear called One by One Nutrition. And I brought him on the show today because I really want to talk about successful habits for people who want to experience weight loss. So Josh, I'm just going to pass the mic over to you. And if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Sure. I've been a personal trainer for, I guess, 16 years, something like that. And I wrote a book called Fat Loss Happens on Monday with kind of like a habit-based approach to food. I slowly have gravitated more and more towards coaching food habits because it just seemed like it worked better over the years. I did partner up with Georgie Fear because she's a genius and actually her food habits were better than mine. So that was cool. I guess my whole career, my average client is looking for weight loss. I've always gotten primarily weight loss clients. I've always gotten probably about like 95% clients that were women looking to lose weight. The habit-based approach kind of like fell into my lap over time because it seemed to make the biggest difference. It made a bigger difference than the workouts, and it made a bigger difference than any specific dietary strategy. So that's how I got here.
Yeah, it's really good to hear you talking about the fact that you feel like it's the number one thing that people need to focus on. I mean, we obviously are both trainers, and so we know how integral that is into the long-term goal. But the thing that people need to focus on with weight loss, imagine that, is nutrition. And so I want to just sort of bring this back to the audience that I'm speaking to through these podcasts, and that is women over 40. And usually women in this age bracket tend to have been on the diet roller coaster. They tend to have tried everything that's out there, and there's always a new phase. What I know that you do and that I really love is that you really do promote that we don't have rules. This is not rigid. We are going to give you, I'm going to help coach with you strategies, rituals, habits, whatever you want to call it, that will allow you to have life-changing strategies so that you can live a normal life without being consumed by this idea of what you can and can't eat, but with real success. And so for the people in my group and my clients who really have been on that wheel of rigid dieting, can you sort of talk us through your strategies and how you would coach somebody?
Yeah, totally. And I always want to highlight exactly what you said. If a client rolls in that's over 40, they've probably done like 3 to 15 diets already, right? And I actually like to start with having people just take a look at like, okay, so you've done these 12 diets before. Like, what did they have in common and what worked? And starting to get at like, hey, look, they probably all have vegetables and they probably all have protein and they probably all had like some balance of carbohydrates and fat. In reality, they probably all had vegetables and they probably all had protein. They probably like, they're all probably all pretty balanced. And so we can just start there that like, there's some normal healthy balance that's probably good Like the extremes are probably ridiculous in any direction. And we can just start with like, let's start with an idea of like, we're going to have some kind of balanced meal, like not something extreme or silly. That cuts out a lot of options right off the bat. And then we start to look at like, okay, and what else worked? Like, what were the behaviors that already worked for you? And what are some new behaviors that might help? Like cooking more usually probably helps. And hey, look, like counting calories worked for a while and then it really didn't. So, okay, what worked about that? Okay, paying attention to quantities a little bit made a difference. And then paying attention to quantities a lot probably actually hurt. And so, okay, let's not do that probably long-term. Let's look at like some way of paying attention to quantity. Like, let's not get silly about counting everything. Let's look at some ways that we can manage that quantity behaviorally. And these days we're actually saying skills instead of habits. Because like we do have a background in personal training. And so it makes a really good metaphor to look at something like eating slower as a skill, like doing push-ups. Like, hey, if I practice doing push-ups, maybe I suck at first. Maybe it's really hard. Maybe I'm not very good at it. And maybe in a few months, I get better just practicing it at a level that's appropriate for me. I can look at something behavioral, like eating slower, like, wow, that's really hard in the beginning. But I can get better at it just by getting more reps in. And hey, look, just practicing eating slower, I eat less quantity because I can tell when I'm full. And I even like enjoy my food and I like get to be with food more if I like food.
You mean to feel nourished and to have enjoyment over food? How many people do you know these days that eat on the go? They don't take time to eat properly, you know, they're eating while they're at the desk, they're eating while they're driving the car. And I know that's one of the things that you do push in the program is like, take time for your food, feel nourished, enjoy the flavors and make it a social event again.
All of that. And man, it's interesting all the things that brings up, right? Like I've got a lot of clients, like manage people and are part of big companies and things like that. And a really interesting thing happens when we get to something like, oh, I don't have time to take 10 minutes to eat for lunch. But they're like, but I would never put that on the people that work for me, right? Like they would never force the people that they care about to like work through lunch or like shovel down food in like 60 seconds. But there's this like enormous pressure that they put on themselves to essentially like work through that time and like not taking care of themselves and things like that. And so
self-care is one of those things that just keeps coming up over and over again. It's super important. I mean, you can't be successful in any way of life unless you first of all look at the impact it has on you. I think it's huge. And I love that you call it skills. I know we go through these different nouns for behaviors, but I really like that because this is science-based evidence, right? We know that these work because research has been done. And we know that as we do these new skills and we do them over and over again, we know that then it just becomes something that just happens without us even thinking about it. And that's your final goal for this, isn't it? You're going to teach people skills so it just happens automatically. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it really is amazing how if someone will give a skills approach like a year or two, that everything will be completely different. Like they have trouble remembering the kinds of issues they had about food after practicing for a couple of years, which that sounds like a long time. But in the scope of someone's life, if they've done more than 10 diets already, like usually just starting the process of getting off that roller coaster is so much better for their well-being that it's actually like not suffering to put in that time. But it is one of those things where like if we just put in enough reps, we get good at this stuff. And I really want to hit on that because there's sort of like this pressure to get it all right and like to be good at the skills, which is actually kind of like a flavor of like a diet mentality where I really just want people to practice. Like a skill like eating just enough, like being able to trust their own internal fullness signals, that's something that's going to take 6 months to a year. And I don't need them to be good at it in the beginning. I need them to practice it. And like getting in reps of doing it wrong is super valuable because that's the only way to learn. And when they do mess up, we've got like 9 other skills that Eating Just Enough explodes out to, and we can start picking at the different ways that the different sub skills that might make a difference for them. But eventually we want to get really good at it. But in the beginning, it's just about practice, and it's okay to have a bad rep and to learn from it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's just a really great philosophy and a way of looking at nutrition. And so just touching on something you just said then, the behaviors, the skills that you're teaching people, that you and Georgie and Roland teach, it's not just nutrition skills. We're obviously looking at ways to be successful when it comes to approaching so many different things. And so can you touch on some of the things outside of nutrition that you actually coach people, talking like about not eating until you're full and slowing down, and something we need to be aware of and are probably more important than the food we're putting in our mouths. Do you agree?
We actually have to kind of catch ourselves sometimes, because we can almost lean towards spending no time talking about the content of the meals.
Yeah.
And it's not like the content doesn't matter, but it's, if you look at the evidence for behavioral weight loss, like behaviors that impact the quantity of food people eat, it has a much bigger impact than which specific diet. So let's dig in. Eating Just Enough is paying attention to what's the range of food in that meal where I'm like happy and satisfied with the amount of food that I ate, and like being mindful enough to feel that versus just like shoveling things in until the plate's empty. So eating just enough is one. Eating 3 to 4 meals a day without snacking is another huge one. This isn't ridiculous stuff. It's like eating 3 meals, right? Like that's pretty cool. But inside of that, we get to deal with all of the reasons people snack, which by and large are mostly being bored, being tired, being sad, being lonely, being stressed out, having a headache. Like people snack for like a million different reasons.
It's usually emotional.
Hunger. Yeah. And that's really normal, but it's something that we can get at. We can start taking a look at what's actually going to make a difference. If I've got a client that never gives themselves a break at work unless they're eating a snack, what would be a break? Could you go for a walk around the building? Could you, you know, so we can attack all that stuff inside of that skill. Hunger mastery is another skill that is kind of amazing. It's waiting until you've been hungry for 30 to 60 minutes. What we typically find is we find that some people wait way too long and they're hungry for like 2 hours before meals and they roll into meals starving, and that's not good. And we also have people that are never hungry. Like they either eat enough at meals or they snack so much that they're never really hungry before meals. And it's actually totally healthy and normal to be hungry for like a half hour before your next meal. And so that's a cool one that also kind of like triangulates with eating just enough and eating 3 to 4 meals without snacking. And then we've got portion control. Portion control is sort of like, this is another one of like Georgie's genius metaphors, where it's like, if I go to buy shoes, I don't try on every pair of shoes in the store, right? I know that I'm probably, I'm a 10 and a half. So I'm probably going to try like a 10 or 10 and a half or 11, right? And so if I set up my plate with like kind of a pretty healthy amount of food, then with healthy portions, then it actually makes eating just enough a lot easier. There's some really cool research on unit bias where most people, if you give them a 350 calorie sandwich or like a 700 calorie sandwich, yeah, they'll eat it and feel like it's the right amount, right? Because it's one unit of sandwich. So we can kind of set ourselves up pretty well, like making our units like pretty good from the get-go. That's portion control. And then the last one is eating mostly whole foods, which is just another one where if our food quality, for lack of a better term, is mostly pretty good, mostly stuff that's like obviously healthy, that helps a lot with being able to notice when we're getting full also.
I mean, what's really interesting about the 5 core skills that you and Georgie teach is that the last one is the only one that really talks about the actual food you put inside your body. The other ones are all skills that you are going to work on towards eating that meal. And I love that. And I actually the one that was a game changer for me, because I experienced a change in my body composition through menopause, and it made me really have to stop and think about why this was happening. I realized that there was a whole area of this that was out of my control, the whole hormonal component.
Right.
there was a lot that I could do to help make things easier. And the one that worked for me was the hunger mastery.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I'm not an overeater. I never have been that. And I've never had problems with my weight until this time of my life. I was a snacker, for sure. And so I never really felt hungry. And most mothers are snackers because we're always doing something and we're always, make a little snack for the kids and we'll just nibble away. We don't even realize we're doing anything. And so, so the hunger mastery for me was a game changer. And I still, and I'm always saying, are you hungry? Why do you want to eat? You know, it's the first place I go. And so these are, to me, are real core skills that are really helpful for me, for my viewers, because we're not saying, you need to eat more protein, or are you eating too many carbs and not doing enough exercise? You know, we're not going there. You're saying to them, have you got these skills in your arsenal? Josh.
I like it.
It wasn't us. But do you have these skills that are going to help you be successful in your journey? And know that they're not going to come just like that. They're going to take time. On your website that you have one-by-one nutrition, I love the fact that your focus is obviously weight loss skills coaching, but about eating your favorite foods and ending emotional eating. Social eating, because there's so many times in a woman's dieting cycle, I'm not going to come to that meal because it's an Italian restaurant and everybody will be eating pasta and then tiramisu. Yeah, but it's grandma's 90th birthday. There's only going to be one birthday. I can't go. I mean, people make these type of choices, and life's too short to be missing out on important events purely because of food.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how we stop obsessing over food and we start to gain a bit more relaxation in our approach? Is that something you can do quickly? I don't know if we can talk about that quickly.
So we could totally jump on some really good contextual stuff for where to start and some nuts and bolts kind of skills. So the first thing is, one of the reasons that we say eating mostly whole foods is because mostly is mostly, right? Like, it doesn't all the time. And the other thing is, you can actually use the other four skills with whatever you want. Like, the ninja level of eating just enough is being able to do that with pizza and cake. Like, it's a lot easier to play the game of eating just enough with chicken, brown rice, and broccoli, right? But the thing is, you can still do whatever you want and not eat to the point where you feel bad afterwards. And having that context of I've had a lot of clients that ate to the point where they felt kind of bad in their stomach after they ate something like pizza. They might kill a bunch of pizza and feel bad. And when they find out that they're like, hey, I can eat pizza and pay attention and still feel good afterwards. I had a client that just went to Greece and ate whatever she wanted, paid attention to what was just enough, and kind of took a look at what would be good portions, and had a totally weight neutral holiday, trying everything and tasting all the stuff and eating slowly and actually enjoying it more because she paid more attention to the food instead of shoveling it all in and actually missing it. Before, she would eat really fast and kind of miss it. Yeah. And now she pay attention and enjoy it and enjoyed it more. And actually noticed when she was full and was I didn't feel bad. And I could walk around with my kids and see all the stuff. That's a cool place to be. And another thing you spoke to a little bit was picking your battles. You know, not every single meal needs to be goal oriented. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I went to the Valentine's Day dinner with my girlfriend at this place called Balestrier Vineyards, which is our favorite winery in Colorado. It's amazing. And they do a Valentine's Day dinner. They also have amazing food where it's five courses with wine pairings and it's amazing. And it's way too much food. And I felt horrible after. I felt terrible afterwards. And I don't do that all the time, but when I do, it's a special occasion and it's like amazing, glorious food. It's like a 5-course meal with wine pairings. They like open these casks of wine, really special occasion kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point,
totally
right?
Yes.
And it's one of those occasions that you would have regrets if you didn't. And I think that's the way to look at it, because I think that too many people have regrets about things they didn't do, and the amount of women that tie food to those regrets is like, yeah, I was at my grandma's 90th or this special, yeah, Valentine's meal. You go enjoy food, enjoy life. And the client that you were just speaking about, if I went to Greece, it's the most perfect place to practice these 5 core skills. The food is wonderful.
Yeah.
Like people actually, talking of Greece and Europe, they value their meal times. They value the social interaction with their families. And for me, that's something I've started to do more. Our family meal times are actually something that we make an event of. So one child sets the table, one gets the water. I will cook the food with one of the kids. And then we turn all of our visuals off, all of the TV, the iPads, and we sit around the table and talk. And, you know, it's the only time we all sit down together and enjoy our food and get together as a family. And I think that one is one of the things as well that helps you be successful, is actually making meal times important again.
That's wonderful. And I think there's two things that you're really speaking to there that are amazing. One of them is this stuff is all supposed to make your life better, right? Like the reason you're doing it is to increase the quality of your life. If it like reduces your social interaction, which social interaction is like super important for well-being, right? So if it reduces your social interaction with people you love, that's terrible. That's not a good thing. And so like all of this should make your life better. And it really speaks to like, so one thing that I do with clients all the time is talk to them about clarifying their values. Sometimes I'll have them pick from a list. Sometimes I'll talk to them just about like who matters to them and what matters to them. And eventually what we get to is people's values typically include some version of eating healthy and reasonably that actually works for weight loss, but it's about like their health and their life and how they want to feel. And they also want to have these like special moments or like around food and social interactions where it's not a goal-oriented meal. Like it doesn't fit their values to skip a glass of wine on their anniversary. That's the opposite of their values.
Exactly. Yet we do it all the time. Women do it. I'm talking about women because they're my audience. But
sure,
we do it all the time. And I love this approach to weight loss, knowing that it's a successful way to weight loss as well, because we're changing lifestyle goals. We're not, yeah, and lifestyle values. We're not just changing our food. And I think that one of the things I also love about this way of coaching as well is we're not talking about the what, we're talking about the how. And that's, yeah, huge about this. It's an education or a re-education for people. And so it's not just eat this, eat this, eat this. I mean, places like Weight Watchers are very successful at helping people lose weight. But we know that the reason that it's successful is because of the community aspect rather than the,
right,
education, because the education side of weight loss in Weight Watchers isn't there. They're telling you to eat a red and a green food. That means absolutely nothing. But people lose weight there because they're with other people and they're engaged,
yeah,
and it's the community. And we know how important community is in any type of new strategy. But the philosophy that you would encourage people to do is to learn why you're eating the way you're eating and how you can change ways that have not been successful in the past.
Yeah.
And so that re-education is fundamental to success, right? Willpower doesn't work basically on its own. It's just not a successful strategy, is it?
So it's kind of like anything. If you rely on willpower without having the underlying skills to be successful, it's a really hard road to go. You're basically like white knuckling eating less when most of your behaviors are making you hungry all of the time, right?
Yes.
So if we give someone the skills to actually like be more full and be more satisfied and pay attention to what self-care they actually need instead of snacks and all these things like that, it's going to take a little bit of willpower in the beginning to practice new skills, right? Like practicing new skills takes some force, right? Like you have to add it in. And like the more reps people get, the easier it gets. And we start building in the skills where it takes less and less willpower. I had one client that was like, a year from now, I want this to take like 13% of my energy or less.
Very specifically, 13%. Yeah, okay.
So I'm like, okay, 13% of your energy. Like this shouldn't take all of your energy a year from now, right? Like we should build in the skills. And like with the skills, it takes so much less willpower. And one of the skills that jumped out at me when you're talking about like eating with your family and turning off the phones and everything, if you look at the research on eating without screens, it's amazing. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So like if you eat watching TV, not only do people eat more during that meal, during the meal that they eat while they're watching TV or while they're looking at their screen, they eat more at the next meal. If you eat watching a screen, you'll eat more and be less satisfied at that meal, and you'll eat more and be less satisfied at the next meal. If you eat while you're watching TV at dinner, you're more likely to be less satisfied and snack after dinner. And that's one of those things where it's actually one of the hardest skills for people to change if they're used to eating with a screen. But if they do, all of a sudden they eat less and they're more satisfied without changing anything about what they eat. Plus, they often tell me, they're like, also, I found out what my kids are up to.
I actually talked and had a conversation. Imagine that. It takes away. Yeah, I mean, you become mindless when you lose yourself in a video or a TV show. There's no consciousness about the food that's going in your mouth. I completely agree. And so I also really like that interaction and with the family as well. Yeah. And even just taking time on my own. I mean, my lunch is always on my own. I always go outside and sit outside. Always.
And how nice is that?
Yeah.
To like sit outside and eat with your lunch and like have a minute that's like good for you.
And it's just another little strategy step that I've taken. I haven't really ever focused on my food during this period of my life, but I've really worked on these skills, which is pretty much one of the reasons why you're on this show today, because I know it works, right? And thank you so much, George, for being on the show. And if anybody wants to contact you or find you, I'm going to send them over to your one-by-one nutrition site. That's correct,
awesome.
Right?
And yeah, onebyonenutrition.com.
.com. They can head over to Amazon and buy your book, Fat Loss Happens on Monday.
Sure.
Which I think they should anyway, because it's a great book. And
thank you.
Just thank you so much for providing just some really practical advice. I love it, because it just, cool. I just know people can listen to that and think, oh my God, I do like 12 of those things. I need to just like, and then just try one little thing and see if it makes a difference.
This was so much fun. This was so great.
Well, like it wasn't going to be fun. Imagine that.
Of course.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Don't be afraid to contact me if you've got any requests or questions. I answer every email. You know, I don't like to ignore anybody. So thank you. Take care. And I'll see you all next week. Bye for now.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com, or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.